الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين وقد قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, I have recited a verse from the 17th para when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Speaking about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala says, we have sent you as a mercy to the worlds. Every aspect of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy for every ummati. Whether in the private life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the public life, if we have to follow the commandments of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will only draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards us. Also part of the mercy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he informed us about those things that will benefit us and those things that will harm us. Amongst the things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us with regards to those things that will harm us, one of the things is love for this world. Love for the world is such a spiritual sickness which is bringing this ummah to destruction. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking of the signs of the day of Qiyamah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yushakul umam anta da'a alaykum. That close to the time of Qiyamah, the kuffar, they will call one another against you. And thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kama tada'a al-akilatu ila al-qas'ati. Just like how people call one another towards an invitation to devour food and to eat food. So one person asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That will be the reason, will the kuffar devour the Muslims and attack the Muslims because the Muslims will be in small numbers? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ كَثِيرٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. But your condition will be such that you'll be just like the scum from the flood waters, of no worth, no honor, no respect, nothing. And thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِن سُدُورِ أَعْدَائِكُمُ الْمَهَابَةَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the awe that the kuffar which they should have for you, Allah will take it away from their hearts. They won't honor you and respect you anymore. وليقذفن فيكم الوهن. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place wahn amongst you, amongst the Muslims. So the Sahaba Anum asked, what is this wahn? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. That is love for the dunya and hatred for death. So this love for this dunya is such a thing that is causing destruction to this ummah. But how does a person know that he has got love for the dunya? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Bani Israel in the Quran Sharif. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sustained them with man and salwa. The incident is long, we cannot go into the incident. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sustained them with man and salwa. Food without any effort. Sustenance without any effort. But they told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we want to work. We are tired of getting this. We want to work. We want to eat the things of the dunya, like vegetation and all those things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them by saying, أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٌ. I'm giving you something superior and you want something inferior. When a person gives preference to something which is inferior over something that is superior, then you must know he has got love for dunya. And we'll give a few examples just to illustrate this. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving the khutbah in Jummah. This was in the beginning stages of Islam, when Jummah just started. And Nabi sallam was giving the khutbah, and one of the trade caravans of the Sahaba anhum came into Madinatul Munawwara. Now when the caravans used to come into the town, they used to make like a big noise, so that everyone knows that the trade caravans is here, so that people can come and take the goods. Sahaba anhum at that time were listening to the khutbah. When they heard this noise, immediately they left the khutbah and they went straight and they went for that caravan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses. وَإِذَا رَأَوْ تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا فَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. That when they hear, whilst they are listening to the khutbah, and they hear the trade caravan coming, then they go towards that and they abandon you. قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارِ. Listening to the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listening to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was something that was superior. You gave preference to something that is inferior, which is the dunya, which is going to come to an end. That was a sign of حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. But Sahaba radiallahu anhu, their lives were an example for us. Ulama have mentioned that Allah made them make certain mistakes. If they never made the mistakes, we wouldn't know how to handle the different situations. That's why Allah says in many places of the Quran, after the mentioning the mistakes of Sahaba, وَلَقَدْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah has forgiven them. Because their lives are an example for us. Likewise, there's another incident in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, in the battle of Uhud. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had placed those 50 archers that they must look after the mountain pass so that the kuffar do not attack the Muslims from behind. In the beginning, the Muslims were winning the war. And the kuffar, they left their wealth and they started running. So when these 50 archers that were placed by the mountain pass, when they saw that the kuffar are running away and they're leaving all their goods, they thought that the war had come to an end. So some of the sahaba wanted to leave their post. Abdullah bin Jubair radiallahu anhu was the leader. Nabi Sallam made him the leader. He told them, Nabi Sallam told us not to leave at any cost. So those people that wanted to leave, they said that Nabi Sallam meant that until the war is over. And it looks like the war is over because the kuffar are running.
So they never intentionally go against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the misunderstanding. And they left their post. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them. They went towards that wealth of booty. Allah says, وَلَقَدَ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعَدَهُ إِسْتَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِي حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةَ. Indirectly, whether it was a misunderstanding or not, but you indirectly disobeyed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for what? Just because you saw that booty. Now that wealth was not going to make a difference. Even though Sahaba were going to take that wealth, it wasn't going to make a difference in the share of the Sahaba. Mufassirin mentioned, they won't be getting more wealth even if they went towards that wealth. Because the shares of booty is already stipulated from the side of Sharia. So even if they got that wealth, they're not going to get anything extra. So they never went to it because of their love. But Allah says that outwardly it seemed to the third person who sees you, what is he thinking? He's thinking that you are going towards that wealth. Anything that indicated towards hubbud dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the sahaba to task. Imagine that person who has hubbud dunya and the love for the world. What a sickness it is. But what we learn from these incidents, that when we are going to give preference to that which is superior over that which is inferior, and we choose the inferior thing, like when we are breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just because of some business, or because of our families, or because of some worldly pursuit, then we are destroying our akhirat. We are destroying our akhirat. If you take a few more examples in the lives of Sahaba, lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. How respectfully he tried to explain to his father about the truth he never wanted to accept. His father even threatened him. قَالَ رَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا. I will beat you. He respectfully still, because the father has got the right to discipline the son and the child. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, despite his father being a disbeliever, but being the Nabi of Allah, he knows the law of Allah, that you still have to be respectful to your father. Obedience is something else. Now he's showing us a difference. So he tells his father, سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ حَفِيَّا وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ. You are my father, I respect you. But in this matter, I cannot obey you. Now you are telling me to go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With all the love and respect that I have for you, I cannot follow whatever you are saying. Now I'll have to move away from here because you are not allowing me to fulfill my duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A similar incident is mentioned regarding a sahabi, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was one of the Ashara Mubashara, one of the 10 sahaba who were given glad tidings of Jannat in this dunya. He accepted Islam. His mother was Hamna bint Abi Sufyan, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, who was the enemy of Islam. And when she heard of him accepting Islam, she threatened him. And she said that I won't eat. I'll starve to death. And people will start speaking bad of you, that because of you, your mother has died, etc. And she never ate for a few days. Sa'd radiallahu anhu goes to his mother. And he also says in the riwayat, Kuntu barran. I was very, very respectful and very obedient to my mother. And everyone knew me to be obedient to my mother. But I told my mother that this is such a matter that I have to give preference to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over you. Even if you have many lives and you have to pass away, I still cannot give preference to you over Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respectfully he did it. Even though with the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she also accepted the iman thereafter. But this was the steadfastness they understood. That one is that love for that parent. One is that love for one's wealth. All that is in his place. But we cannot give preference to that over the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In the beginning of Islam, when the Muslims were tortured in Makkatul Mukarramah, then hijrah from Makkatul Mukarramah, migration from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara was fard. It was compulsory. It was a sign of a person's iman that you had to make hijrah. So certain Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they did not make hijrah because their family, their wives told them that we cannot leave our hometown here and we cannot go to Madinatul Munawwara. So please stay, do not leave us. So certain Sahaba anhum remained behind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. That, oh believers, that some of your wives and your children are your enemies. Not all of them. Some of your wives, those that are stopping you from fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are actually your enemy. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that when there's a clash between what our family wants, maybe it is some function, and our family wants something against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it was very respectfully, in a nice way, with wisdom. We should try to explain to them that here, you are asking me to do something against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I cannot do it. Likewise, there are many other incidents. There's another incident of Hazrat Tha'laba bin Abi Hatib. He was in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was always very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In every majlis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was there. He told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua. That Allah ta'ala give me wealth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to explain to him that be satisfied with what Allah has given you. But he tried to explain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I will give this charity and I will do this good work and I will do that good work. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. After his insistence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him abundant wealth. First, in the beginning, he was missing his normal jama'at salah with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he was too busy in his business. And then slowly, when his business increased and expanded, then he had to move away from Madinah to Munawwara to the outskirts of Madinah, outside Madinah to Munawwara. Now there was no Jummah, no Jama'ah. A person who was always with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happens now? Now he's not even there for the Jummah. He's not even there for the Jama'ah in normal Salah. Just because he got so engrossed in the dunya. Later on, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Zakat became fard, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message. Sent one of his people to go and collect the Zakat. In the beginning, he said that you must come tomorrow. And then when the person continued coming, in the end he said that this is a tax. I'm not prepared to give it. When he said that, this person came and told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that now do not go back to him. We will not accept his wealth. Then Allah speaks about it and says, فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he had that iman which he was exposing, Allah said he was only exposing that iman. He had nifaq and hypocrisy in his heart. He didn't really have iman. In the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq Ranu, he tried to give that wealth. Abu Bakr Siddiq said, Ranu said, when Nabi Sallam never take your wealth, I'm not going to take it. Time of Umar radiallahu anhu, same thing happened. Time of Usman radiallahu anhu, he passed away. He passed away upon that kufr and nifaq. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَةٍ. That the love of dunya is the root of all sicknesses. It will only become the root of all sicknesses if it makes you forget the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala does not say that you mustn't have love for dunya. Allah says, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشُونَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضُونَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Allah says, if all these things, when the love for your family, whether it's your children, wives, and your family members, and your love for your businesses, and your love for your homes, etc., is, if all these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then fatarabbasu, Allah says, then you're asking for trouble. Then you're asking for trouble. So Allah is not saying that you mustn't have love for these things. Allah is saying you can have love for these things, but it must not overtake the love of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how do we cure this sickness? We just got a few minutes. How do you cure this sickness? Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith, that what is the distraction of this ummah? حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. The love for the dunya and hate for maut. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually giving us the prescription. The more love we have for dunya, the more we will hate maut. And the more we love maut, the less we will love dunya. Therefore, ulama mentioned, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentioned, that if you want to reduce the love for dunya, then think of abundance in maut. Think of maut in abundance. أكثروا ذكر هذه من اللذات. Then remember in abundance that which cuts off all pleasures, and that is maut. That's where ulama mentioned that mention about maut daily. In one hadith in Majma'u Zawaid, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who reads this dua, Allahumma barikli fil maut wa fima ba'd al maut. Allahumma barikli fil maut wa fima ba'd al maut. If a person recites it 25 times daily, then Allah will give him the debt of a martyr, inshallah. So that is also reminding him of debt. Secondly, ulama mentioned, visit the qabrustan in abundance. It will remind you of death. Then ulama mentioned that you should also take part in ghusl. Not only for family members, even non-family members. Take part in ghusl, it will remind you of the dead. And the person who has passed away, it will remind you of death. Then ulama mentioned that a person should make muraqabah of maut. And every night a person is reminded of death. When a person goes to sleep, he reads the dua. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. O Allah, in your name I am dying and I will wake up inshallah. So a person is reminded of death every night. But that muraqabah of maut means that a person must think as though he has passed away. People are giving me my ghusl. They're giving me my kafan, etc. And they're carrying me to the qabrustan and they're burying me. And now the angels are coming to ask me the questions. Am I prepared for those questions? When a person is doing this continuously, Buzuganidin mentioned, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the reality and the fikr and the worry of islah in his heart. That he needs to change and correct his life. So here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us about a very, very serious sickness. Well, because we are caught up in the sickness, therefore we are depriving ourselves from so much of the barakat and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only way is that to get away of the sickness is that we must think of death in abundance. Another remedy that ulama have mentioned is that the Bani Israel, they were also caught up in the sickness of Hubbud Dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them in the first para, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Salah is a very, very good cure for Hubbud Dunya. One example, just to illustrate how it becomes a cure. A person is in his business. Everything was very, very quiet. Just before the salah time. Now, everything is starting to boom. All the customers are coming. And now the muazzin is calling. At that time now, if a person goes for the salah, what did he give preference to? He gave preference to Allah over that wealth. That's why Allah praises Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum in Quran. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Sahaba was such men that their trade and commerce did not distract him from the remembrance of Allah, especially the salah. So much so, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayh, under that verse he mentions that if a blacksmith who is doing his work, if he had to pick up his iron, and the azan went, we're not talking of salah, we're talking of azan, he will leave his tools there, and he will go to the salah. And if a buyer and a seller, the buyer put the item in front of the seller, or the seller, he put the item in front of the buyer, the buyer did not even pay for the thing, and the azan went, they will stop the transaction there, even though it was permissible for them to continue the transaction. But Sahaba Anum was so particular of their salah that they will stop their transaction there and we will continue after salah. We will continue after salah. So that is a sign, salah is one way. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. That if a person who is very particular with his salah, that wherever he is, when salah time comes, I will go to the masjid. Even if I am out enjoying myself with my family. But once salah time comes, immediately I will go for the salah. Person is saved from so many sins. So this is another cure for that hubbu dunya and the love for the dunya. We made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the dunya. He has mentioned a dua. That, O Allah, you make your love and the love for your deen and the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more beloved to us than anything of this dunya. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.